From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms political clashes past, time to win polls with ideas. Minister Airlangga Hartarto projects export value to grow 12.8% in 2023. And here is the news in detail. President Joko Widodo on Wednesday told members of the Crescent Star Party that the period of politics filled with confrontations is long gone and has given way to an era of competing with ideas and programs. Now is the era of competing with thoughts, contesting elections based on programs and ideas. This was stated by President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. He concurred with a statement made by the General Chairperson of the Crescent Star Party, Yusril Iza Mahendra, that all parties must maintain unity and avoid sacrificing national interests for personal or group interests. The President appealed the people to go hand in hand. The Indonesian government is expecting the value of exports to grow by 12.8% in 2023. This was conveyed by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Airlangga Hartarto, at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. The figure is indeed small compared to 2022, when export growth reached 29.8%, but Minister Hartarto said the projection has been made with the assumption of an already high base value. He also stated that this year's export growth will slow down compared to last year because the base has increased. Economic turmoil may affect the progress made by the government and other stakeholders in eliminating tuberculosis in Indonesia. Therefore, health-related matters that may affect the progress of TB elimination in Indonesia. This was pointed out by the Director of Communicable Disease Prevention and Control at the Health Ministry, Imran Pambudi, at the 2023 TBC Outlook meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara. Based on a journal published by the Economist Intelligence Unit, or EIU, regarding the 2023 healthcare outlook, Pambudi outlined four things that are likely to affect the handling of TB around the world, including Indonesia. Specifically, absolute health spending, which will decrease in 2023 due to economic turmoil amid the major global challenges. The head of the new capital city authority, Bambang Susantono, said the letters of intent from 11 Malaysian companies that confirmed their interest in investing in Indonesia's new capital will be instantly processed. A formal answer, attached with several documents, including a non-disclosure agreement, will soon be submitted. Bambang, in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, pointed out that after the NDA is signed, the authority will deliver supporting and technical data to potential investors. Sri Lanka's central bank has urged China and India to agree to a write-down of their loans as soon as possible. As reported by BBC.com, the crisis hit Indian Ocean State defaulted on its debt repayments and negotiated $2.9 billion US dollars bailout. But the International Monetary Fund will not release the cash until China and India first agree to reduce Sri Lanka's billions of dollars of debt. The governor of Sri Lanka's central bank told BBC Newsnight it was the interest of all parties to act quickly. The POTUS Joe Biden aides have found a fresh batch of classified government records at a second location in a growing political embarrassment for the White House. As reported by BBC.com, the first cache was found at a private office in Washington, D.C. that Mr. Biden used after his vice presidency. The matter is under review by the U.S. Department of Justice. Former President Donald Trump is facing a criminal investigation for allegedly mishandling classified files. It wasn't yet clear on Wednesday when or where the additional tranche of files was found by Biden aides. The original batch of about 10 documents was discovered in November at the Penn Biden Center, a think tank near the White House, but only came to light this week. Malaysia's Minister of Plantation Industries and Commodities Fadila Yusof on Thursday accused the European Union and the United States of making baseless allegations about the sustainability of palm oil. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, Minister Fadila Yusof, who is also Deputy Prime Minister, said in a seminar that he expected the market for the edible oil, also used in fuel, to remain robust this year. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi awarded the Hasan Wirayuda Protections Award HWPA to 22 selected Indonesian citizens protections activists at the 2022 HWPA awarding night in Jakarta on Tuesday. This award is a form of appreciation from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for activists protecting Indonesian citizens abroad. The 2022 HWPA award is the eighth event since it was first held in 2015. In her remarks, she stated that the Indonesian government gave appreciations to the protectors of Indonesian citizens abroad who have worked hard beyond the call of duty. It is hoped that this appreciation can inspire the strengthening of protections for Indonesian citizens from upstream to downstream, given the number of cases that continue to increase every year and the challenges of protecting Indonesian citizens who are increasingly complex. Two things that were underlined by Minister Retno are, firstly, it's important to invest more in prevention efforts by providing protections at every stage of migration and involving all stakeholders. Secondly, it's by strengthening the service infrastructure and protecting Indonesian citizens by developing digital transformation, collaborating with ministries or agencies, and increasing the capacity of human resources in serving and protecting Indonesian citizens abroad. At HWPA 2022, Minister Retno gave awards to 22 recipients from 7 categories, both individuals and institutions, from the government, government partners, civil society, to journalists. The 2022 HWPA recipients were selected based on the best assessment, among others, in making a significant contribution to efforts to protect Indonesian citizens abroad beyond their professional obligation, special assignment in the context of protecting Indonesian citizens abroad with full dedication, loyalty, and placing protections above personal and group interest, devote their abilities, expertise, access, and work networks to play an active role in efforts to protect Indonesian citizens abroad, actively contribute to increasing public understanding and awareness of the issue of protecting Indonesian citizens on an ongoing basis, and or creating systems, policies, programs that are innovative or breakthrough in the field of protecting Indonesian citizens.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event on January 12th about National Occupational Safety and Health Day, or K3. National K3 Day is commemorated every January 12th. This day was stipulated through a decree of the Minister of Manpower number 245/1990 year concerning National Occupational Safety and Health Day. January 12 was chosen as the commemoration day on which Law number 1/1970 concerning work safety was promulgated, and the purpose of establishing National K3 Day is to raise awareness and compliance with occupational safety and health norms, as well as encourage a national movement in cultivating occupational safety and health. We move to the next event in 2010, Haiti earthquake. An earthquake with a magnitude of 7.0 rocked Haiti on January 12, 2010. The epicenter was 16 miles from the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. The epicenter was at a depth of 10 kilometers. The United States Geological Survey stated that there had been aftershocks with magnitude around 5. In fact, the earthquake tremor was felt in Cuba and Venezuela. Most of the Port-au-Prince city was damaged, including the Haitian Presidential Palace, the Haitian Parliament Building, Port-au-Prince Cathedral, and a hospital. The earthquake killed around 230,000 to 300,000 people. We end today in history with the event in 2016, suicide bombing in Istanbul. A suicide bomber blew himself up among a group of foreign tourists near the Blue Mosque in Istanbul, Turkey. As a result of the suicide bombing, 12 tourists from Germany and 1 tourist from Peru were killed. Soldiers of the Islamic State Iraq and Syria were accused as the perpetrator of the bombing. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
A cooperation project between the Food and Agriculture Organization FAO and the Indonesian Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fishery was showcased during the Global Environment Facility GEF workshop for Asia-Pacific in Nusa Dua, Bali on Tuesday. In the event, FAO Indonesian Sea Large Marine Ecosystem, ISLME, was chosen as a successful sustainable fishery management mainly related to marine habitat preservation. FAO ISLME was one of the 13 FAO projects funded by GEF. The cooperation project between FAO and the ministry aimed to improve fishery management that prioritizes justice, sustainability, and environment preservation principles. The total fund granted by GEF for 13 projects in 16 countries was $78.5 million. The working sites of FAO ISLME in Indonesia were Javan Sea, Makassar Strait, Bone Bay, Flores Sea, Bali Sea, Tolo Bay, and Banda Sea. The representative country director at FAO for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Rajendra Arial, in a written statement on Tuesday said that the project offers a long-term economic potential for national development. The ISLME working area is one of the central waters in Indonesia, which houses 500 types of coral reef, 2,500 types of fish, 47 types of mangrove, and 13 types of seagrass. At ISLME program, FAO and the Indonesian Minister of Marine Affairs and Fishery attempted to help improving the ecosystem approach to fishery management, EAFM, and harvesting strategy for 8 top commodities, namely lobsters, crab, mangrove, swimming crab, snappers, sardinella, lemuru, seagrass, and sea cucumber.
I could stick around and get along with you. You know that I'll be with you if I could. I'll come around and see you once in a while, or if I ever need a reason to smile. Secure. Let me show you life can be so pure. Oh, life is easy if you wear a smile. Just be yourself, don't ever change your style. No, you're so fine, be on my mind. Get nervous.
You're so fine. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Visiting Subak Museum in Tabanan on Saturday, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno appreciated the existence of the museum in Tabanan, Bali. This museum is an educational tourism attraction, especially about Subak itself. Subak is the irrigation system for rice fields used in Bali. Previously, it received UNESCO's recognition as a World Cultural Heritage. The museum is one of the interesting destinations in Bali. It is located in Banjar Anyar Village, Tabanan Regency, Bali. The distance from Denpasar City is approximately 21 kilometers or about 47 minutes by motor vehicles. If you want to go there, you have to pay an entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah for kids and 10,000 rupiah for adults. The establishment of the Subak Museum was initiated by Gusti Ketut Kaler on 17 August 1975, who had the idea to preserve the traditional Subak institution as the nation's cultural heritage. This idea was realized in the form of Subak Museum Cultural Heritage, which was later named Subak Museum. Subak Museum was inaugurated Governor of Bali, Professor Dr. Bagus Mantra, on October 13, 1981. When you are visiting the Subak Museum, you can learn the concept of Balinese life. For the Balinese, Subak farming technique have a deep meaning, even related to their concept of life philosophy. They are familiar with the Trihita Karana concept of life, which is adopted from the portrait of a Hindu philosophy of life. Here, humans are thought to always integrate with three aspects, namely, fellow human beings, nature, and God. All of these aspects are interconnected with each other, and they have a major influence on human beings. Subak Museum consists of a sacred complex with Padmasana or prayer room and others. Spatials and layout of these buildings have been adapted to the surrounding buildings. There is a main building consisting of two buildings, namely the administration building and the permanent exhibition. In the exhibitions, there are objects that have cultural and artistic values, information, and illustrations. They are presented in panels and scale models, such as the process of preparing the land and the edible rice. Subak Museum has a lot of collection. Some of them are agricultural tools. Besides, there is an audiovisual building where you can watch documentaries about Subak. Subak Museum has mini Subak as a visualization of the Subak irrigation system. It is used as a demonstration of Subak activities, starting from irrigation to the process of agricultural activities in the rice fields.
Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi warna bajumu kala itu. Kali pertama di hidupku, manusia lain memelukku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi wangi rumah di sore itu. Kue coklat balon menawani pesta hari ulang tahunku. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk warna dalam hidupku dan
gambaran foto hitam putih. Kembali teringat malamku hitung-hitung bintang saat mataku sulit tidur. Suaramu buatku lelap. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk warna dalam hidupku dan banyak kenangan indah. Kau melukis aku, kita tak pernah tahu berapa lama kita diberi waktu. Jika aku pergi lebih dulu, jangan lupakan aku. Ini lagu untukmu, ungkapan terima kasihku. Lembar monokrom hitam putih, aku coba ingat warna demi warna di hidupku. Takkan ku mengenal cinta bila bukan karena hati baikmu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today highlights elephant tunnel at Pekanbaru Dumai Tol. Listeners, on January 5th, 2023, President Joko Widodo inspected the elephant crossing tunnel at KM12 of the Pekanbaru Dumai Permai Toll Road. He also reminded the importance of development by paying attention to environmental sustainability and ensuring the survival of wild animals. According to head of the Riau Natural Resources Conservation Agency, KSDA, Genman S. Hasibuan, the elephant tunnel is an adaptation of the construction of the Pekanbaru Toll Road, which divides elephant habitat into cities and two districts with a total elephant population of 76. This is a collaboration between the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Ministry of Public Works and Housing, so that the movement of elephants in their habitat is not disturbed. This elephant track tunnel has been made to suit its natural habitat in nature. On the left and right of the road around the elephant crossing tunnel, a safety fence is made so that the animals are safe and their ecosystem is protected. The Pekanbaru Dumai Toll Road has 6 elephant crossing tunnels. The first crossing on the Tekuana River is located in Section 2, not far from the Gajah Minas Training Center in Siak District. Then, the other 5 crossings are in Section 4, close to the Balai Raja Wildlife Sanctuary. Permai Toll Road Manager AA JD Indrayana said that the Permai Toll Road is indeed special and there is only one in Indonesia. He also explained that if this elephant crosses the tunnel crossing on the Permai Toll Road, it can be identified from the presence of footprints and feathers. The Permetal Road also has other features, such as playing Malay songs at the Pekanbaru toll gate as an access to the toll road. Malay music is a public address system for safety campaigns that is continuously played for 24 hours. The 131.5 km Pekanbaru Dumai Toll Road is part of the Trans Sumatra Toll Road, but has been under construction since 2016. This road, which is the third longest in Indonesia, was built to improve and facilitate access to Pekanbaru as the capital of Riau province, as well as a business city, and Dumai as the port city, with a development petroleum industry and agribusiness. This toll road will be integrated with regional connectivity and expedite the flow of distribution of goods from industrial centers to various regions in the Sumatra regions. That's miscellany.
Lihat peluang, buka mata, lihat dirimu, tak masalah, gapai mimpi. I stick to the plan, and I don't give a damn. No need to worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Yang berlalu biar jadi masalah, lu yang negatif biar jadi yang enak, lu
ayo jom.
Freeze, harus lebih dingin. Peace, tolong didamain. Oh, cheers, tolong dituangin. Lebih santai dikit, kalau panas harus cooling down.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu, tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
Stick to the plan. To worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Siap ambil papan. Bila mereka tetap dengan ku, tetap maju ke depan.
I don't give a damn. We gonna be alright. Sometimes we need to slow.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we're going to play you a song by a top boy band in Indonesia during the 90s, ME. ME is actually an abbreviation of a Sundanese phrase, Embung Eleh, or Don't Wanna Lose. The boy band formed in 1997 had five members, namely Denny Sabah, Tidan Fitra Sakti, Irfan Mirza, Ferry Iskandar, and Widi Cipto Utomo. One of ME's top hits is Inikah Cinta, or Is This Love? The song released in 1998 is about a man falling in love. He feels all the longing, happiness, and always wanna be with the loved one. Here is ME with Inikah Cinta.
Cinta pada jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sampai
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.